1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, joins us on the air. And before we get into anything else, Larry, I know you had some personal problems this week.
I did, Phil, and I thank you for mentioning that.
What happened? Is your mother?
Yeah, I had to make the decision, Phil, and a lot of people have to make. I put my mother into assisted living. She is no longer able to... She's not able to think clearly, and it's difficult because I'm here at my job at the Prince Center right now. I'm a night manager at the Prince Center.
What happened, man? I mean, that's always a tough thing to deal with, a parent who is no longer able to...
It is, Phil. What happened for me was I knew that that moment had arrived, that she could no longer care for herself. When I had asked her about the speech of President Bush about Iraq... And I asked her about what she thought about the possibility of war with Iraq, and she didn't say anything. And then I asked her, what did she think about the Iraqi situation? She didn't say anything. I said, did you see the speech bomb? Mother is 70, and she dresses herself, she cooks, she cleans, she also volunteers at the church for Sunday school.
Okay. Does she drive?
She does drive. But when I found out, she had no comment at all about the Iraqi situation, and then she finally said to me, and this is when I got on the phone to Dr. Horner, who is our, he does geriatric science and is also our family doctor, and I thought I was gonna cry. I told him that what she had said.
What was the tip off?
Well, I had asked her about Iraq and President Bush's speech. She said to me, "Honey, I'm watching The Young and the Restless. I'll talk to you in a minute." And it's one of those defining moments, I think, in the life of every child who has to put their parent away. And I've got her in an assisted living facility, Phil, and unfortunately it is a locked facility.
Now, a locked facility means...
It means they could be a danger to themselves or to others. They could be psychotic. They could wander off.
But you said that she's driving, she's cooking, she cleans, she volunteers...
That's correct, but you have to understand. You know, you got to understand something. First of all, the possibility of war with Iraq is enormous. I mean, I shouldn't be explaining this. I don't know why I'm explaining it.
No, I know about the enormity of it, and I also know how involved in politics you are. But I guess I'm having a hard time, understanding that you put your mother not only into assisted living.
Well, this is a full nursing home, Phil. It's a locked facility. They care for psychotics. Here is the woman who brought me into the world, and now I'm not sure what she could do to me and herself. She could cut my throat.
Because she didn't have an opinion about Iraq or President Bush's speech?
Well, Phil, again, it's difficult.
If I sound like I don't understand, I guess I don't, and I'm sorry, Larry. Believe me, I have an elderly mother as well.
You never want to do it. You never want to face the day when you have to put the woman who brought you into the world, and mother, as I say, has always been a strong woman. Mother never, I don't know, but I've had to get her. She signed over a power of attorney to me. And so I'm in control of her estate now and her medical bills.
Well, I guess that's indicative, then, of a person who needs help if they... I guess she realized that she needed to sign it over, right?
Well, yes, she did.
Did she do that willingly, or was it difficult when someone is senile? Power of attorney, by the way, folks, is basically something that the person gives to another person to control her affairs.
Yeah, that's right. No, she was recalcitrant. She had a tough time with it, but I told her that I wanted her to sign the power of attorney, and she wouldn't do it. And I said, and I had a Bic lighter that I had purchased over here at the Little General, because I had picked up some toothpaste and some shaving cream, and I lit it and I held it right under the soft fleshy part of her arm, and I said, and she said, "Please, Larry, please don't burn me." And I said, "I'm not going to burn you, Mother. I'm simply saying, do you feel how hot that is?"
I got to be clear. Did you torture Larry? Please understand.
Mr. Henry, I did no such thing.
All right, please understand. I'm not trying to second-guess a son trying to do the best for his mother. She signed the power of attorney after you threatened to burn her with a lighter?
No, I did not. No, I did not, and I would ask you to be careful what you're saying. I simply lit the Bic lighter, and I held it under her arm, and I said, that's hot, and it might, and she has trouble signing forms, so I have to get her to do these things.
What trouble signing forms?
A number of papers. I wanted an automobile. She needed a cosign. She wouldn't do that. I wanted to purchase a liquor store. She wouldn't cosign on that. And so she has a difficult time, because she's senile, signing her name to things. So what I did is I just lit the lighter and I put it under her arm and I said, and she said, Larry, please don't. I said, I won't do anything to you, Mother. You know I love you, Mother. I said, but you can feel it's burning hotter. Sign it. Sign. That's how you get her.
All right, so you had to motivate her because she has a hard time signing things.
Yeah, yes. That's right. And
all right, our number on the Phil Henry Show, I'm with Larry Grover, who is the former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, 1-800-449-8686. He has had to put his mother into assisted living in a locked facility for psychotics because you feel that she is mentally unstable?
She absolutely is, yeah.
And she signed over a power of attorney to you?
That's correct. And
And the reason why you believe, because you told me she's driving, she's...
She drives, she cooks, she cleans, she volunteers. She gave a speech before the League of Women Voters about 3 weeks ago, and that's why it was amazing for me to suddenly realize she absolutely had no opinion about President Bush's speech before the United Nations. One of the most powerful statements I think any leader has ever given. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And she said to me, I'm watching all my children ask me in a few minutes. And that's when I knew, and the pain of the realization struck me, oh, my God, my mother, it needs to be locked up.
You know, it's funny what the signs are when an elderly parent finally needs to go inside. For your mother, it wasn't that she... Does she have control over her bodily functions?
Yes, she does. But who knows when that'll go. She doesn't have any control over her thought process, as in evidenced by the fact that when I said, do you have any opinion, Mother? And I said, Mother, and I waved my hand in front of her eyes, do you have any opinion about the UN resolution with regard to radiological weapons in Iraq? And she went, uh-huh, and she just kept staring at the TV. I said, Mother, what is it? And she said, then she said the words I'll never forget, which made me believe she belonged in a locked psychotic ward. She said, oh, Larry, would you shut up and sit down? I'll get to you in a minute. That's when I knew that she belonged in a bolted, locked vault.
Good God.
It's just one of those moments.
Well, I am wrestling with that. I wrestled with that with my own father, Larry, my heart goes out to you. It's a tough thing. You love them. You do your best for them.
Well, I've tried to do my best for her, but unfortunately, Phil, I have to put her in one of these assisted rooms. She's got a very nice bed that she shares in a room with five other women, and they have a nice, it's a plastic, they have all the facilities of bedpans and this kind of thing. The only thing that I can't get around is the smell when I walk in there, but I know she is old enough. It doesn't bother. See, the elderly, the stink doesn't bother them because they're...
What is this facility you got her in? It's a nursing home?
Yeah, it's a nursing home, Phil, and, I'm just missing Mother humming as she made my bed. I miss her so much. But I think, Phil, this is indicative. Number one... When your parents begin to lose it, be kind to them. But number two, when they show evidence of absolute psychosis, that they don't even have an opinion that makes sense about Bush's statement to the General Assembly, and you know that you have no choice but to put them into a bolted crypt, it is...
I understand, Larry. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover has had to put his mother into an assisted nursing facility because... She suddenly had no opinion about President Bush's statements on radiological weapons in Iraq. And let's go over to Josephine. Josephine, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi, Harry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, this is Larry Grover.
Yep. You mean to tell me that because your mother in a Democratic state has no opinion on Bush's speech, that you would have her incarcerated, worse than incarcerated, and that you put her there by forcing her to sign
No, I did not force her to
you
sign.
You forced her to sign her because you did. You forced her to sign because you did put the flame under her arm and let her know that she that it was burning and it could burn more. What you should do is seek out for yourself. Seek out for yourself and find some way to understand how a democratic society works.
Josephine, can I ask you a question, dear?
You want to put people in a closed facility, you should put all the congressmen in because they have no opinion of the speeches yet. Why don't you take all the congressmen, senators and congressmen, and put them in a closed facility?
Are you currently in lockdown yourself?
Because they have no opinion yet of the president's speech.
Are you in a locked ward right now, Josephine, or are you in the day room?
No, but I think that you should definitely be. But you should be in jail because you have forced your mother to sign.
Josephine, when a soap opera...
for your bills, you have forced your mother to sign over a power of attorney. Why? I don't understand.
How did I force her?
Somebody called 911 and have you put away, you know, in a place where you can
recover. Well, I understand your feeling because you are elderly and you fear this. But when a soap opera becomes more important than a speech by the commander-in-chief, it's time for a bolted, locked porch.
And they just said everything. Bush, Bush, and everybody else has no opinion on Bush's speech.
Mr. Henry, may I be heard?
You have an opinion on Bush's speech, but because of the way you are, that's why you do have an opinion. And you would like your mother to have the same opinion as you, or otherwise you'll put her in a close
She had no
facility.
Opinion. She had. You this showed me that she was out of her mind
really,
and needed to be bolted in because she needed to be bolted to a chair.
Of the people that Bush is speaking
Larry,
to.
Josephine is saying, basically.
Josephine's elderly, and she fears the same thing for herself. I believe that's why she's taken the part of my mother, and I appreciate that, Josephine.
I have had my mother live to be 97 years old. The only time I put her in a nursing home, but not a close-end nursing home.
Josephine, you just compared Bush to George Washington.
I compared Bush to George Washington. I compared Bush to you.
Do you remember seeing Mr. Washington speak? All right, well,
Josephine, you're making some good points,
you do not know what it is to live in a democratic society.
I love this country. I love this country, and I've worked very hard for this country through the years. I lost my wife and my children as the result of my efforts at getting Bill Clinton out of office. I have not had normal sexual contact with a woman for 5 years because of my...
And you incarcerated her. For all intents and purposes,
slow down the scooter and listen.
All right. I got to jump in here, you guys, because you're talking over each other. Larry, what was your comment?
I simply want to say that my mother, now I forgot what I was going to say, but I would say to Josephine this. When your mother suddenly doesn't have a normal opinion about the president's speech at the UN, it's time to have her bolted to a chair and lifted out into the back end of a van.
And I hope that everybody hears you because
bolted to a chair.
Who would say the condition of the mental condition you're in, and the fact that you have no idea what a democratic society
is. I had to have my mother put into a facility.
All right, hold, Josephine. Thank you.
I don't have any opinion on both.
Right. Thank you, dear. I got to. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your call. This is the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686, and you can see. Anytime you talk about putting an elderly parent into a nursing home, people have very strong opinions. Mr. Grover put his mother in a nursing home. He asked her, what did you think of President Bush's speech at the UN? She was watching a soap opera instead. As far as he was concerned, that was the tip-off. He needed to put her into assisted nursing living. Now, he's got a power of attorney that he had her sign over to him. He says she has a difficult time writing things, so he has to hold a lit lighter to her arm to make her sign things, which sounds suspiciously like coercion to me. But we'll be back with more of your phone calls. What do you think? Did this man go too far, or is it time for his mother to be put away? And maybe some of us have to think about the same thing for our parents. 1-800-449-8686. Live in New York City, it's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got just a little bit of time. Larry Grover is with us from Conservatives of Kern County, and let's go over to Carney. Carney, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, you're on with Larry Grover.
Hi, Larry.
Yes, ma'am, Larry Grover.
I just want to tell the jerk that called about his mother that he should be bolted down into a chair and burned to a crisp. Because when your mother gets older, you're supposed to love her and take care of her like she took care of you when you were helpless. And I'm sure she's not helpless. It sounds to me like...
Carney, I can tell you that we were watching a movie the other night, Carney. I love Mother very much.
No, you don't. Not if you did what you did to her. Let me tell you something. My children would lay down in front of a truck for me. Okay, and I would do the same. And I'm still helping my kids, and they're still helping me.
Well, Carney, did you say your children are run over by a truck?
You're going to go to hell for this, mister.
All right, Carney, let
thy mother and thy father, where's your Ten Commandments, you jerk?
Wait a minute. The Jewish people don't read the Bible, do they?
The Old Testament.
I'm not Jewish. I'm Catholic. I'm proud of it.
Okay, well, listen, I want to ask you something. I love my mother, and we were watching a wonderful old movie the other night called Kiss of Death with Richard Widmark. In the film, he ties an old lady up in a wheelchair with electrical cord and pushes her down some stairs. And I said to her, you see, Mother, that could happen to you, but it won't, as long as you sign over your bank account to me. Now,
well, obviously, you scared the hell out of her.
How?
By saying you'll get tied up in a wheelchair and pushed down some stairs.
No, I was saying that could happen.
You actually said that to your mother?
No, I said that could happen to her if she didn't have me protecting her. And so then she immediately
said... Okay, she should be protected from you. Because you are the nicest man I have ever heard.
Carney, can I ask you, is that really your name, or are you missing fingers and run a Ferris wheel? Because
if we're talking about your mom and the serious situation that she's in, let's stick to the point. And for you to say to your mother, you see Richard Widmark tying that old lady up in the wheelchair with electrical cord? That could happen to you. Obviously, she thought you were going to do that to her.
Phil, that is an absolute slanderous criminal lie. I love Mother with everything in my heart, and I would never hurt her. I simply need that money. Now, I'll tell you something. I have some moderate gambling debts from the first week of the NFL season, but I'm getting better, and I'll be back on my feet. But I did need her checking account.
You got to pay off a gambling debt with your mother's money?
Mother would have wanted it.
You put your mother away from money?
No.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. God will never forgive you.
My
I don't care what religion you are.
Look, if she uses her money to go on these little RV trips to Yuma with her friends, that's my inheritance. That money's made out of my father's flesh. She can't swear to that.
Let me tell you something, baby. She earned that money. She has every right to do whatever she damn well pleases with that money.
Carney, let me tell you something. I love my mother, but you...
No, you don't. You hate your mother. You know what you remind me of? Did you see the movie... With what's his name? The movie that he killed his mother and left her in a chair. I can't think of the name of it.
That was Mrs. Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire.
No.
American President.
No.
It was Psycho. It was Psychos.
Oh God! No, it was George Burns.
No, it was Psycho.
It was Greece. And let me tell you something, Carney. You better hope this guy doesn't creep up on you with electrical cord. And
all right, Carney, thank you. We've got really passionate feelings running high on this. Do you think that it's time to put your mother away when she doesn't have an opinion about Bush's speech? Mr. Grover's doing that with his mother. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
When your mother or father get old enough, they have to be put into a nursing home. When do you do it? Larry Grover did it when his mother no longer had an opinion that he liked on the weapons inspection program, the UN. And yet you say that the woman can drive, the woman can feed herself, the woman has is a volunteer at the...
Well, Mr. Henry, these are small points. The point is, I think it shows... I have given my life to politics. I don't get up in the morning without turning on CNN and the Fox News. I enjoy American Morning with Paula Zahn. I have a wonderful relationship with the news. And I went into Denny's. It's amazing to me, Phil. I used to go into Denny's and Shoney's, and you'd see the people sitting there at the counter, and I would say, did you see the news? And I just talked to a stranger, a guy next to me. Did you see this about Iraq? Did you see this about Bush? And they wouldn't have any opinion at all. They just turn their back and keep eating their Grand Slam or their New Orleans Scramble. And that proves that there's a lot of mental illness out there. And
for a guy to go into a Shoney's and babble on at the counter about Iraq,
I was not babbling, sir.
But the fact is, it might be intrusive to some people. Here is Susie on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, I have a comment. This guy is a psycho. That's what you are. Just because your mom has certain points that she may not be interested at the same time that you are, doesn't mean she's mentally ill. You are the one that's mentally ill.
I've got her in a wonderful home. She shares a room with five other women.
She's not. Do you know what happens in those places?
If you watch
the news, you should know what happens in those places.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you would feel safe around someone that didn't have a cogent, coherent idea about the Iraqi UN resolutions?
You're trying to burn me or trying to kill me like what you're doing to your mom.
No, no.
You're the one that's insane. You're trying to hurt your mom.
No, she has a difficult time.
You when you were a little boy. My mother did.
And I'm home trying to help mother.
You did that for your mom.
You're doing it for mother. What your mom did for you.
What do you think I'm doing?
Well, you're taking her money. You're taking her money, aren't you? And you're paying off gambling debts on week one of the NFL.
That's her money.
I need to get well.
She worked her butt off all her life.
All I need to do is rest.
And if she wants to watch her soap operas, she should be able to. You shouldn't tell her what she should watch.
Mother has no need of money anymore. She's very safe. They change out the bedpans and sheets every 3 days.
That's 3 days.
You. That's the only good thing.
I was not safe with her. Can you imagine a woman who can't talk to you?
She can't talk to me about Bush. What do you do for a living? Taking her money.
I'm the night manager at a print shop.
You're a night manager at a print shop. And you can't afford to pay your own debt? Gambling? What? Paying off with your mom's money? That is so
I made some bad picks.
That is no respect for your mom at all.
I picked Pittsburgh Monday night. I need to get well.
You need to get well on your mother's money. And then you threaten her with being pushed down a stair with an electrical cord wrapped around her.
I didn't threaten her. Look, mother has a hard time making her.
You threaten her. If you put something under her arm to try to burn her because she won't sign some papers, that's threatening her regardless of what you say.
You don't understand what's right from wrong. Susie, let me ask you something.
Your mom's away from you.
Susie, I have to say, I got a pool contractor coming because I'm putting in a pool. So what are your points?
Wait.
Don't come near. You might burn him too.
What do you mean you got a pool contractor?
I'm making some changes here at the house.
Well, now, you got your mother's money and...
Hey. What are you people trying to infer? That I don't love mother? That I haven't always been there for mother? Mother has a neurological condition which makes it difficult for her to move her arms.
In a hospital in your home...
The only way a woman can move her arm is if you put a lit Zippo under her arm and singe some of the flesh. Otherwise, she won't move her arm. Why don't you listen to me?
What are you talking about? You got a burner?
You are a psycho.
Listen, Susie, until you go to where I am, you have to put your mother away in a locked pen.
Listen, I used to take care of my grandfather. My grandfather was ill also.
Can I play you a tape recording?
He didn't know who I was. Yet I was there feeding him, cleaning him, and I would do it all over again because he did that for my mom.
I made this tape recording for the insurance company so that they could know what I was talking about. Now, this is my mother 1 week ago after I asked her about George Bush's speech. Listen to this. She fell down the stairs.
Did she fall or was she pushed?
Now, what's that crack supposed to mean? I took a picture of the new pool table and showed it to Mother. That's how much I love her. And what did I get in return? This. She falls down the stairs. So what I'm saying to you, Susie, and to all concerned people for their parents, if they're so insane that they have no opinion whatsoever on multilateral biological and radiological weapons testing, boy, I feel sorry for you.
And if your mom is not interested in talking about that topic at that moment,
really?
It is her right. It is
Susie,
her home.
Susie,
she can do whatever she wants.
And what if she's not interested in getting up and going to the bathroom, but she'll just sit there and do it in the chair? Is that her opinion, too? And what if she's no longer interested?
Then you know what you would do? You would clean it up for her. Because she did that to you years ago.
That'll be the day when I get on my hands and knees with a sponge under Mother.
I'm sure you won't do that for you when you were young. Who wiped your butt?
She keeps falling. My number
one. Who wiped your butt? Who wiped your butt?
You really want to know about my butt, don't you?
No.
My mother
You're such
is so
a psycho.
Nice
You're a sick man. You are such a sick man. You should be the one that's tied down, dragged to this hospital, and put under chains, never come out. It's people like you that make men look bad.
I bought a new PT Cruiser and traded in my mother's Cadillac.
With your mom's money.
That's right, with your own mother's money.
PT Cruiser and your mom's money.
My mother is so crazy, I've got to pay $50 extra a month to have a nurse come in and pinch her to remind her to crap.
You are a psycho, man. You are going to pay for this.
Oh.
Well, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. His mother, by the way, is doing fine, and I think that the last time what is that? What did you do, Larry?
I ordered an escort one.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I think his mother has been retrieved by the Adult Services Division. And she'll be fine. Mr. Grover faces criminal conspiracy complaints, a felonious assault, and the use of an escort service with his mother's money. Just incredible. 1-800-449-8686.
Damn it.
See, he fell down the stairs. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I got another flashback from the from actually Tuesday, the day before 9/11. R.C. Collins, a military academy young cadet, called in to say that on 9/11, what he would do was comfort women. The younger the woman, the more comfort. The older the woman, the less. In fact, women are a lot like cuts of steak. Young women are filet mignon. Old women are stewing beef. Here's R.C. with a special guest appearance of Commandant Harvey Wireman from Bradley Military Academy.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Commandant Wireman, this is Cadet R.C. Collins.
How are you, Cadet?
Fine, sir.
What can I do for you, Mr. Henry?
We have a caller on the line, Joan. You wanted to express some complaints, correct, Joan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you been listening to this program?
I have not, unfortunately. We are preparing for the Commandant's Ball.
Excuse me. I think you need to request a copy, a tape of your young man's interview. His analogy of the women in America as cattle, filet mignon, sirloin steak, flank steak, and breaking them off in categories.
Yes, ma'am.
And his language. His English grammar is so appalling that I wonder what Bradley's doing.
What language
has
he?
I'm sorry, now I'll listen to you.
Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You do not use language unbefitting a cadet of the Bradley Military Academy to one of the women of our nation. That's number one. And you have compared women to meat. That's number two. You will kiss the gunner's daughter.
Oh, no, sir, please. That...
Yes, you will kiss...
What's kiss the gunner's daughter?
He'll be laid over a cannon, and he will be... we use the old Naval Academy flogging. And he will be beaten.
Sir, I don't think...
Yeah, see what you did, Joan? Thanks a lot.
No,
no
you
Joan,
did it.
No, Joan, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below, Mr. Henry, for the makings. Now then...
What do you mean, take him below? I'm doing a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Joan?
Yes?
Joan, yes, this is Commandant Wireman. God bless you and the great service you've done to
he's
our nation.
He's been doing it to the entire American population, men and women.
Oh, please, I don't want to kiss the gunner's daughter.
You'll kiss the gunner's daughter.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
The gunner is a nickname for my rear end, and his backside will bleed tonight. I can Joan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm not requesting anything like that, but I think you need to know that.
I'm going
to
beat him until the skin's flayed off of his buttocker area.
I don't know that that's a legal thing to do.
We must. It is legal when the parents turn their children over to us at Bradley. We're a private military installation.
Well, he's been bragging about his father's being very rich.
Well, I know his father is very wealthy.
And some people there that are his co-mates have been pulled up by their bootstraps. And, he's making Bradley a laughingstock where...
How dare you?
I wouldn't want my grandson
Collins,
to go there.
Why, you little B-A-S-T-A-R. How do you spell it?
D.
That's right. I can assure you, Joan, he'll be in intensive care by the end of this evening.
Well, I'm not asking for that, but I do think
it's the least we can do.
Of this program and listen to.
Offer you, Joan, if you'll give us your address, a photograph of the skin flayed
from his rear end. I don't want that. I don't want that, but I do want...
You do not want that.
No,
thank you, Joan. Thank you.
No, Commandant Wireman, we don't need that, okay?
I would like to kick him in the face and make blood come from his eyes.
Now
please!
Now you make me wonder more about the Academy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is to hug the young girls, hug the older women a little longer, and then take the young girls, he said, to a champagne dinner and then a reception at your home.
Yes. We have the Commandant's Ball, and then I host one of the young virginal debutantes for a nightcap in my quarters.
That's what he said.
Good God.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know how appropriate that is.
Joan, have you ever
I've wondered about that, but I'm not going to
Joan, have you ever seen the Commandant's Balls? I mean, the Commandant Ball?
Okay. Joan, thanks very much.
Well, wait a minute. I was just getting to know her.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That's it, baby. That's comedy gold. You shall kiss the gunner's daughter. I got that out of a movie. You know what movie I got that out of? The Bounty with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson. Great movie. It's about, you know, the bounty. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. And now it's Chester Shunt. And let's fix something around this place.
All right. Hello, everybody. Well, here it is. That's right. You know, it's better to get that afternoon delight after you've been able to fix some things around the house. You sure don't want to bounce your wife off the headboard if you've got some springs that aren't working right or anything like that, because next thing you know, both of you butt up and bare naked and everything on the floor. You don't want that. So we're going to try to fix something around this place here on the Chester Shunt Program. But they're rubbing sticks and stones together. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I can't go to rubbing my wife until I get some things fixed around here. She says to me, Chester, when are we going to have some time for ourselves? I says, I got to fix that toilet because every time I'm popping you up and down off that mattress, I can hear that water running in there, and that costs money. So let's talk about now how you can fix that toilet. You know, if you got a runny toilet, it wastes anywhere from 30 to 60 gallons of water a day. I can't keep my mind on business. I can't keep a good rhythm going, you know, just boom, 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 when I'm thinking about that toilet running there in the bathroom. So what I'm going to do today is teach you how to fix something called, are you ready? It's called a ball cock. That's right. Go ahead. Get it out. Laugh away. Come on. Let's grow up. You want to laugh? That's exactly what it's called, a ball cock. And this is that little rubber ball there along that piece of metal length of pipe that regulates the flow of the water. So today I'm going to show you how to replace the ball cock there on the toilet. And here we go. Now, you're going to see here I've got a length of pipe. I'm going to try to saw this off at a length where I can work with it, because you don't want too much. You can't fit it in the tank. You don't want too little. Otherwise, it's not going to float there with that rubber ball at the end. Make sure you've shut your water off, and let's get that length of pipe right here. And I'll fire on the saw right now. All right. Well, how about that? I cut my hand off, but that's all right. It's okay. All right. My left hand is missing, and you want to go ahead and pick that up, Shorty, okay?
Good right here.
Good boy. He's great. All right, so I've lost my left hand, and that's something you want to keep your mind on, of course, where your body parts are in relation to the arc welder or the saw or those things. But that's okay. That doesn't keep us from fixing that ball cock, does it? Now, we've got that pipe cut to the right length. Now, we're going to want to weld that over to a piece of metal that we're going to drop down into the tank. So let me get my arc welder here. We'll fire that one up, Shorty. Put my hand in the cooler. You can put my hand in the cooler there, right. Put my hand in the cooler with some ice. Shorty, put my hand in the cooler. All right. Fire up the arc welder. Here we go. Yeah, look at that. Now okay, so my foot, that's the left foot I lost. Because what happened was I had my foot up on the saw trying to position the arc welder, and I turned the saw on instead. But that's all right. That's all right, because I got the arc welder going, and that's been able to weld that piece of metal together. So we're doing fine. I'm missing a hand and a leg, or part of the leg. So you want to go ahead and put that in the cooler there with the hand. Put that in the cooler with the hand. Shorty, put it in the cooler. All right. Now here comes the part. The ball cock, of course, is a rubber ball at the end of that long length of pipe. You want to put that ball cock on. Now what we'll do is establish a perimeter so that we make sure it's not too big for the tank, and we make sure that ball is floating free in the water, which of course regulates the water. And here we go. Now I'm going to saw off just a little bit of pipe so that we've got enough room there in the tank. Look at that. Okay. See what I did? Okay. I sawed off my penis. Now look at that. It's on the floor, the blood and everything. Huh? But that's all right. That's okay. You know, we're going to run out of space in the cooler, Shorty. Why don't you go out there in the kitchen and get another one? Get the small one, right? Put the penis in the cooler. Put my penis in the cooler. All right. Well, we had a little bit of a problem today. It's just a flesh wound. Don't worry about that. I sawed off my hand and my foot and my penis. And that, of course, is going to make for a very interesting afternoon with my wife. I find out I got the headboard fixed, but I have no male genitalia with which to consummate the act. So join us next week. Now, we've got all that running water is taken care of, but what are you going to do if you've got a plugged-up pipe there, right? Next week, we're going to show you how to snake that toilet with all those tampons. Find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some. All right, this is Chester Shunt, and this has been Let's Fix Something Around This Dump, huh?
This is the Phil Henry Show. We got another hour to go in the great city of New York.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Phil Henry Show with Janice Ngero and Craig Taylor at the controls, Jeff Cabot screening, and starring Margaret Gray, Harvey Wireman, Bobby Dooley, Steve Vozell, R.C. Collins, Mavis Leonard, David G. Hall, Lloyd Bonafide, Ted Bell, Larry Grover, Bud Dickman, Alf, Jay Santos, Doug Danger, Jeff Dowder, Rudy Canoza, Bob Green, Dean Wheeler, Austin Amarca, Raj Fanin, Jim Sadler, Dave Oliva, Vernon Dozier, Joe Dickhead and the Professor, Carl Misla, Clara Bingham, Art Griego, Chris Norton, Roland Schwinn, Brass Villanueva, and Don the Suicide Case, and Phil Hendry. Here he is, me. Thank you, Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686 is the number. The FBI has put us all on notice that we can expect This is a frightening, obviously, but there are certainly things we can do. We can expect suicide bombings in our country. It's just not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I wanted to talk to you, Steve, about your fear. Now, you said that you are afraid.
It just looks like we're in it.
It looks like we're in what?
It looks to me like we're in the world, you know, the war on terror has come to our country, and these suicide bombers lurking every place.
So you've decided to leave the country?
I've decided to. I've made a prudent decision that I'm going to leave because obviously I'm very scared about this happening, and it's just for a while until I can get my head together and until there's an all clear of some kind. Either they've got Osama bin Laden, either they got his DNA, or they captured him, or we know that the terror threat has passed. So I've decided to leave the country. And I've explained this to my wife and kids. My wife will not let me have access to our funds. We have a business Visa card. We have a platinum American Express card. And we also have a checking account that she will not allow me access to. And what makes me angry is that I told her that I'm scared of this happening. And she says to me that she needs the money. Now, that's not exactly true.
Well, let me just hear you carefully if I can. You're leaving the country because you're afraid of terror attacks.
Yes, that's right.
And you're not taking your wife and kids with you?
No, I'm not taking my wife and kids with me because of, and it's a very remote possibility, but if I bring them with me, they can either turn on me themselves through whatever means.
Well, why would your own wife and kids, are you saying that your own wife and kids are a threat to you?
I'm not saying that, no, but I'm saying there is the possibility, remote possibility. But the bigger possibility is you have a wife and kids with you. That makes you more of a target for terror. Okay?
Why?
Well, if you have a wife and kids with you, then you go into malls, you go into shopping plazas, you go into movie theaters, you go into places, down into amusement parks or wherever, and that makes you more of a terror target. And I'm very scared of being exploded, so that's why I'm leaving the country.
Where are you going to go? I mean,
I plan on going to Norway. I have a construction business here, but that's why I need the platinum. I need my business credit card, and I need the American Express platinum card. That she won't let me have it. Okay. And what I've decided to do basically is to consult with my attorney, and it's a pretty sad thing to have to contemplate taking legal action.
You want to take legal action against your wife because she won't give you the access to the funds. You're abandoning your family.
No, sir, I'm not.
Yeah, well, you are. You're leaving your family because you're afraid of, and the press release that you sent us, you're afraid of being exploded.
Yes, sir.
You mean blown up by a suicide bomber?
To be exploded by one. Yes, sir. Now, what I've said here is that my wife and my children can certainly go to public assistance. They can go on to aid to families with dependent children. I told my wife about a woman's shelter that'll take her and Ashley and Chad, or my two kids, and they have 53 beds. They just got donated some kitchen equipment, too. If she applies for aid to families with dependent children, she can get monthly check, and she can also get assistance from the state based upon being HIV positive, which she is not, but she can say that she is or be HIV positive, I don't know which. But
so you're going to take the American Express, you're going to take your business visa, and you're going to take your checking account, and you're going to leave your wife to go on public assistance because you're afraid of terrorists.
Well, I mean, you're making it sound like there's something wrong with me.
It doesn't sound right to me.
Well, okay, sir. What I find, I'm resentful of the fact that you can't see my side. I'm scared of terrorists because the FBI just said it. I naturally want to leave. What, do you want to stay here and get exploded? Or?
No, I don't want to get hurt, no, but I'm not going to leave my country.
Okay, so that means, in other words, you think I'm a coward. Because there are some people at work whispering that, and I can tell you, sir, I've got a very good attorney. All right, so
in other words, nobody can whisper that you're a coward, and your wife, are you going to take legal action against your wife and your kids? Am I hearing this right?
If I have to, yes, sir. And I will take legal action against anybody, like the people at work who I heard whispering that I'm a coward. I'm just trying to get my head together, because I'm scared.
Okay. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, if I have this man's story correctly. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Where are you right now?
I'm in the courtyard outside.
Outside of your work?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. So you are afraid of the Al-Qaeda terror threat that the FBI has just issued, and so you're leaving the country.
Yeah, and what is so unusual about that?
There's nothing unusual about that, but you're in a legal fight with your wife for fun. Why don't you just divorce your wife?
I don't want to divorce my wife. Why would I divorce?
Well, you're leaving her. You're leaving her and the kids.
I don't want to divorce them. I love my wife and kids.
Well, then why would you leave them?
I'm leaving them because they make me more of a target for terror attack. And because I need to get out of the country. I don't understand your question.
You don't understand my question?
No.
You're leaving your wife and your kids in America to go to Norway because you're afraid of being, as you put it, exploded by a suicide bomber.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you need to know?
What I need to know is, don't you care about your...
I told you they can go on public assistance, they can get aid to families with dependent children, and also, and I'm not saying she should lie, but if she did lie about being HIV positive, she can get funds from the health department on that. Now, my attorney, Mr. Andrew, you can argue with me all you want, but my attorney tells me that I have the grounds to place a legal claim against my wife, April, who I love and who has been my beloved wife in 19 years.
And what would you sue her for?
I would sue her for mental cruelty by exposing me to abuse at the hands of possible terrorists, possible sexual assault by a terrorist, and the possibility of being exploded by a suicide bomber. I'm also reluctantly considering legal action against my dear sweet children, Ashley and Chad.
Okay.
Who I love dearly. But Daddy has to sue you for being... The problem you have with kids is they're loud, they're spoiled, and a loud and spoiled child, their inappropriateness in public can draw the attention of a suicide bomber to approach and to explode himself just to shut them up. And Mr. Henry, that's a terrible day when a man realizes his kids are so loud and so obnoxious, a man would blow himself to bits just to shut them up.
Well, a suicide bomber isn't going to blow himself up next to your kids to shut them up.
He might target them. You know he's going to go into a place to blow himself up.
Okay.
Then why not just say, okay, well, I might as well blow myself up here because these kids are just driving me out of my mind. I'm putting myself into his shoes, okay? I'm not saying that I would ever do that, but I'm putting myself into his shoes. If I'm going to go blow myself to bits, I would walk and I'd say, okay, now listen to these brats. I'd go in and...
You'd go into any restaurant. Well, then why not just walk into... So you'd go in any restaurant with kids that are being loud and blow yourself up?
Yeah, I mean... What's the one thing that most adults don't like? A loud brat.
Not to the point of killing them, sir.
If you're a suicide bomber, though.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number of the Phil Henry Show. Sandra, go ahead. You're with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. He's looking to leave the country.
Yeah, if you're looking to leave the country and you're afraid, you
aren't
should
you?
Be afraid for your family. Take
aren't
your
you?
Family with you. If
aren't
you're not...
You?
Go inside an insane asylum. You'll be safe there. They won't touch you.
Okay, you're not
Don't
afraid.
Don't take
of...
the money from your children and your family.
I'm not taking any money. They can go on public assistance.
Okay,
I need to get
me.
Set up.
If you're
going to
take somebody else's money who doesn't need public assistance, put your head together someplace else. You don't sue your children and you don't sue your wife and tell them to go get public assistance when they don't even need public assistance.
Hello. I don't know if you've been reading any newspapers, but the FBI says that suicide bombers can come over here.
So
now,
what?
I'm
your
scared.
Wife is not HIV positive.
I'm scared. So
she's
going
to take money because you're scared?
Oh, so you're not?
Well, some
yeah,
people...
Yeah, I'm scared, but I'm not going to run.
This well,
is
I'm
my
not...
country.
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I'm not running. I'm going to get my head together
okay,
in Norway for 6 months.
Let's see. Are you leaving part-time or are you leaving for good?
I'm leaving just until I get my head together and put everything two and two together.
Anybody that leaves is running scared. If you don't understand that, then you need to go on Prozac, sir.
All I'm doing is getting my head together in Norway for 6 months.
Well, that's great. Get your head together for 6 months. Take traveler's checks. Don't sue your wife and your children and tell them to go get public assistance from somebody else's money who needs the public assistance.
Yeah, my attorney.
Come on.
If my attorney, if you know something, if my lawyer was listening to you, there might be grounds for legal action against you because you're basically
calling
me a...
Try to sue me because this is what they call freedom of speech.
You're basically calling me.
If you think you can sue me, you're full of yourself, even worse than you and all these other listeners think.
What makes you think that I can't sue you?
What are you going to sue her for?
She's on the public airwaves calling me gutless and calling me a retard.
No, I never said you were gutless. I never said you were a retard.
You're basically calling me a gutless retard, aren't you?
No, you're putting words in my mouth. I never said you were a gutless retard. I said you don't need to go and sue somebody for no reason, nor do you need to take public assistance from people who need public assistance.
What are you suing?
You want to put words in my mouth? I'm sure they can play the tape back.
Well, ma'am,
what are you suing your wife for?
And you said that I was gay too, because you were talking about the HIV positive angle.
No, sir, you're taking. You said that your wife could tell people she was HIV and take money for public assistance. See, you're just.
Ma'am.
Your story is what you want to think it is.
Steve, whatever.
You want to think you can sue people because you think, okay, this person said that, when in fact it was not said. And that's why radio stations record things. So
ma'am,
any judge would say, well, looks to me like she didn't say that, sir, you did.
Ma'am, there was a movie once called Sophie's Choice. I don't know if you've ever seen it. That lady on that movie had to choose which kid got saved and which kid she was going to take with her. Do I stay with my family under the threat of a suicide being exploded, or do I save myself and go to Norway? That's exactly the same thing what happened to Meryl Streep and Sophie's Choice.
Well, that's
what?
Great. But,
wait
you know,
a minute.
You can make that choice. You can stay with your family, or you can leave your family. But don't sue them and tell them to take public assistance from other people who need the public assistance.
Wait a second. If I leave and I take the money, my wife will need public assistance when I go, so why can't she have it?
Because
she doesn't need public assistance. She doesn't have HIV.
Wait a minute.
She is not.
She does need public assistance if she'll give me the American Express card.
And if you don't get the American Express card, she won't need it.
But then I have to stay here with two loud brats and get blown up in some pizza parlor.
Oh, you just called your children
You just called
brats?
Your kids that you love so much.
I love my
that
children.
That you love so much with your heart filled and forever.
My wife could be HIV positive. I don't know.
Oh, and you just said your undying love for her?
I do love her very much, but I don't know what she's been doing. There's gardeners.
But you're going to call your children brats.
Because they're loud in public, and they run up and down the aisles in the restaurants, and if I'm a suicide bomber, I'd say, well, this looks as good a place as any.
Well, let's
well,
see. They're
you know,
children, sir.
Okay, exactly.
You know what children are?
All right,
children
Sandra.
Children are small little babies who have to learn
I know,
to,
I got
how
two.
To act.
Have you got kids?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, then, well, I doubt it. Not the way you're talking.
Yeah, well, at least she's staying.
I doubt it. That's not the way you're talking.
At least she's staying because I look at Sandra. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor in Corona, California. He is listening to these threats about the Al-Qaeda, and he is leaving the country. He's afraid. He has said that he's afraid. He's leaving. He's moving to Norway, and he wants his American Express. He wants his Visa business card, and he wants the checking account funds, which would leave his wife and kids with nothing, but he says they can go on public assistance. He just needs to get out of the country long enough to get his head together and to assess this threat. Now, of course, what we're not being talked about much here is, what does this guy care about his family? Does he love his kids? And he says he does, and he loves his wife, and that he just needs to leave the country for 6 months to a period of 5 years to get his head together. And additionally, he says he could sue his wife for exposing him to sexual assault and physical abuse at the hands of terrorists, and that his children are loud and obnoxious, and that they would attract a terrorist to blow himself up because the kids are too loud. I mean, this is the thing. People need to get their heads together a little bit. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell is leaving. I don't know how many Americans are out there listening to these threats or understanding that we're in a war on terror and that the war has come to us. The battle is joined, as they say, and it has come to us. And how many Americans are thinking of fleeing?
All right, now I resent that, sir.
What do you mean you resent that?
You're saying that I'm fleeing like I'm a gutless wonder or something. I just need to get my head together and figure out what's up.
Well, then when do you think you'd come back to America?
Wouldn't the FBI give the all clear?
When they give the all clear, meaning that we're safe?
Yeah, they've got Al-Qaeda pretty much under control, and that bin Laden has been found.
All right, let me go to Debbie. Debbie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there, how
are you? Debbie,
you
need to turn your radio down, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay, now we're back down. I just want to say that I am absolutely appalled, and I am absolutely... That makes
you
me
must not
scared.
Have kids. You must not have kids.
Sweetheart, let me tell you something.
Know?
I am a mother of seven.
Okay.
Five boys, two girls, and six
they?
Granddaughters.
How old are they?
They're ranging from 33 to 25.
Okay.
And
see,
my granddaughters
they're not
are
running
17.
Around in no restaurant making themselves a target for suicide.
Hey, you know what? All I can say, that's your fault that they're running around.
Well, you know how
that's your fault
be.
Because you should have been having discipline on those children from the minute that they came into this
okay,
world.
That's water under the bridge, but now they run around asking for donuts or whatever. They got to go to the bathroom. A suicide bomber will blow them up.
Well, you know what? It's your, it's you, as an American citizen, which I'm assuming is what you are.
Yes, of course I am.
That I am appalled, and I'm more afraid of a person like you. Than I am of the terrorists, because you're living on the edge. And I'm not afraid to say you are crazy.
Wait a second.
And if I was your wife, I would divorce you, and then I would have you institutionalized.
No, I will not live my life.
Because you're the one, because you're the type of person that would go over the edge and be one of these guys that would go postal.
So now you're saying that I'm just like the Al-Qaeda terrorists, is that it? Well, let me tell you something.
You know what? You are a terrorist. And you know what? I would be afraid to be your wife, and I would be afraid to be your child.
No, you're more afraid of that than you are being exploded by one of these guys, a towel wrapper.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about explosions, buddy. I happen to drive a big truck, and I happen to be a contractor for the government, and I carry explosives every day across this country.
Oh, now we're in it. You hear that, Mr. Henry?
What?
She's carrying hazardous materials. Have you got a license
That's right.
to do that? Have you got
That's
a license?
Right. I'm cleared by the FBI.
Yes.
My husband and I are cleared by the FBI.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
oh, now,
right.
come on,
well,
man.
I don't have to prove it to you.
The lady's calling up and she's carrying explosives like she's...
This is exactly the thing that FBI... That's why I'm leaving the country.
We're the ones. It's drivers like us.
Yeah, when you get to the other end of your trip, there's going to be some towel wrapper waiting for the explosives you're going to unload off your truck.
Hey.
Oh, but quit being...
You and Mohammed and Bin Laden driving hazmat all over the place.
Yeah, right.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Come on. The Phil Henry Show, Mr. Stephen Bozell, he's a construction contractor. He's leaving the country. He's taken the money with him. His wife and kids can go on public assistance as far as he's concerned, but he's scared of these suicide bombers. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Phil Henry here with Stephen Bozell, an American citizen, a contractor from Southern California, who says that with all of these FBI threats, he wants to leave the country. He, with all these threats from the Al-Qaeda, he wants to leave the country. He's leaving his wife and his kids. You wanted to say something, sir?
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing. Everybody's coming down on me and saying that I'm not an American and saying that I don't have the guts. But nobody says anything about that gutless Wonder Madonna, because she lives in England, like 8 months out of the year, gutless as the day is long. Okay, nobody says that she's gutless. And one time, Grace Kelly, who was an American actress, and she was so gutless, she married some prince, and she goes over to live over in France. What about that?
Madonna's gutless?
She's a gutless wonder living over in England, and Grace Kelly was a gutless wonder, too.
She married a prince, okay? It's the dream of American women to marry princes. They're not leaving because they're afraid.
Oh, how do you know? Bull crap. Madonna's leaving because she's scared to death.
Of what, man? Of her movie bombing? I mean...
Okay. Mr. Henry, you can laugh if you want, but I have legal papers that are drawn up in the office of my attorney, Dolores Blazengame, of Riverside, California, and I'll sue my wife for putting me and exposing me to getting exploded. And if I have to, my children, too.
And if you have to, your kids, too. That's the part, I think, that's bothering everybody. Let me go to Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got one thing to say to him. He's a gutless wonder.
Wait, how can you say that?
How can I say that? You say on national radio, you love your wife and kids.
I love
them. And then you turn around. No, you don't. You don't know what love is, sir. You don't know the first thing about love. Because if you loved your wife and kids, you would not be turning around and suing them. You're running for your own safety. If you had any concern for your wife or your children, you would make sure that your wife and children was packed up and go with you.
Yeah, but
you call your children brats.
Well,
that's not fatherly love.
Wait a second. Every father knows the kids can be little loud, obnoxious pieces of dirt. Everyone knows that. Okay.
I've got five boys and two girls, and I've got six granddaughters, and I love every one of them to death. And when this September the 11th stuff took place, you're the type of people that I went to Vietnam for and served my country for, that stayed back here with their nose clean and everything else. And I tell you right now, sir, when September the 11th went, I was the first one to try to volunteer to get back. Well, I was too old. They didn't want me.
Well, how old are you anyway? You sound like you're
I'm 53 years old.
Well, they ain't going to take no 53-year-old.
Hey, at least I was willing to go and stand up and fight for my country and protect people like you that wants to take it and run off and hide and bury the head in the dirt.
Well, wait a second. I just need to get my head together for 6 months to about 5 years.
Why leave your family behind?
Because if you take children with you, they
run around and
blow you up.
You think hide because you're running? You
sounds
can't
like
hide.
As soon as you get home from Vietnam, you wouldn't let your wife get up for 10 years with all them kids. At least I'm giving my wife a break. And the other thing
you're not giving your wife a break. You're putting more of a burden on your wife than what you realize, and your children. And then you're going to turn around and sue your wife and children?
Yeah,
what kind of love is that from a husband or from a father to his family? Not love.
I'm trying to sue my kids only because they won't shut up in a restaurant.
This thing about your kids being attracting a suicide bomber, you really got this on the brain.
Well, what do you think that every time one of them suicide bombers goes into a bar, it's like they hear a kid scream and they go, okay, that's it. And they go
I differ with you there, sir.
From what I've read from the FBI reportings.
What?
That's
no,
what
sir. No, sir.
You don't think
no,
that's
sir.
Why? You don't think that's why they go in?
No, I do not.
FBI said that suicide bombers target certain places because they hear a lot of loud kids.
Yeah.
No, sir. I beg your pardon.
Well, I don't know.
If your kids
you went
loud,
to Vietnam, you didn't have no suicide bombers over there.
Sir, they had more suicide bombers in Vietnam than what you know about. They had kids that would come up to you and blow themselves up as well as the GIs.
They blow you up?
I was there.
Did they blow you up?
No, they didn't blow me up, but I come mighty daggum close to getting blowed up.
How the hell could they have blown him up if he was blown up? How could he be talking to you?
What?
I was there, sir. I served my country. I didn't run and stick my head in the dirt. I stood up and fought for what Uncle Sam said that I should do because
wait
I was in
you
there
said little
serving
kids,
my
you,
country.
Well, you're talking about little kids blowing you, and what I'm trying to say is...
He didn't say that.
What did you say?
I said that I had seen kids blow other GIs up.
Oh,
that
I'm sorry. I thought
Vietnam.
You said blow other GIs. I didn't hear the other part.
That was in Vietnam. That was not here in the States. And the terrorists do not take it because they hear kids and stuff target that area. Sir, what makes you think that someone terrorist is just going to show up where you're at? Look how big the United States is.
Well, I can go down to a mall, and then they'll walk in and blow me up.
Sir, you can walk out your front door and be blowed up walking out your front door.
Oh, come on. Who's going to do that to me?
The street.
Who's going to blow me up coming out my front door? Nobody. Thank you. Nobody. See?
You don't know this. You are not God. You do not know this.
I'll tell you
right
now.
You can walk out your front door. You can take it and walk down the street. You don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next.
I go out my front door and I get blown. You can have my insurance money.
I don't want your insurance, sir.
And he didn't say blown. He said blown up.
I'm sorry. So I misunderstood.
Yeah.
You can walk down the
all
street.
Right.
You can go to a grocery store. You can go to
what
a
about on a
theater.
Okay, all right. What about this? What about on a roller coaster? Yeah, I got you there. There's no way that would happen on a roller coaster. There's no way in hell.
You do not know this. You have no guarantees.
What about if I was in the freezer at the supermarket?
You have no guarantees.
Already I'm laying out areas where you're wrong. You know your no suicide bomber is going to blow you up on a roller coaster or in a walk-in freezer.
What are you talking about?
Well, he said I could get blown.
I know what he said. On a roller coaster.
How about a fishing boat? No way that's going to happen either.
Look, at the man's point is well taken, okay? Anything can happen to you at any time, and...
Okay, on a fishing boat?
What?
A suicide bomber. See, I got you on that one. You call me crazy? All you people out there call me nuts, and I just ask you right now, if I went on the all-day fish route on Newport Beach, okay, because they go out, they'll do two runs, both for the snapper...
Okay, I understand, and what?
Could they blow me up on that? Come on.
I guess not.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for not calling me a liar.
I guess Al-Qaeda isn't going to blow you up on the all-day fishing boat out of Newport Beach.
You got it. What about a roller coaster?
Okay, not on a roller coaster either.
And while I'm surfing?
No, maybe not, unless the shark is Al-Qaeda. So in other words, you think you're a real big man because you won a point.
Yes, sir, I did. And I'm showing you the logic of what I'm saying about how large, of what I said, of the logic. And you can't say nothing about it.
Oh, well, hey, let me just say this right now. Hey, way to go, pal. You're right. Score one for you. Al-Qaeda won't blow you up on the all-day fisher out of Newport Beach.
See?
Yeah. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hey.
Jesus.
I think you're nothing but a psycho and...
Who, me or Mr. Henry?
How in the hell can you say that you love your wife and you love your kids when you call your kids a brat? I think you...
I say that with great affection.
I think you need a psychiatrist. I don't think you need to leave the country. I think you need to be locked up because...
I need
you,
to be locked up because
I mean,
I don't want to get
blown up. Just going to work or...
Okay,
even
here
in
we
your
go.
Pocket, even if you're in your car.
Sure. Can I get blown up on a roller coaster? Yes or no?
We've already answered your question.
Yeah, don't be repeating questions, all
okay,
right?
Okay, well, you said I could get blown up anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah, but...
Not on a roller coaster,
but
I can't.
I mean, you've got the gall and the nerve to say that you love your wife and your kids, too.
I love my wife. I would die for my
because
wife and kids. I would die for them.
I'm going to say this. You're nothing but a freaking coward. You are a freaking coward, and I'm going to say that for all your co-workers, whoever works
for you. Oh, she dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah, well, with her accent, okay, she could be... Be strapped. Right now. Ain't you gonna say nothing? Or did I beat you at the argument?
Yeah, you destroyed me, man.
That's right. I got another one for you. Do you think I can get blown up at the San Diego Zoo?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, see, I won. I made the point.
I hate guys like that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'm Phil Henry. I did the voice of Steve Bozell in that preceding segment. So that was me playing the part of that character. Then the people called in and they thought he was a real guy. And a really good time was had by all. On yesterday's show, Vernon Dozier was talking about how he doesn't trust the women of this country to be ready for this war on terror. He's ready because he has military experience, but not the kind you would imagine. He believes that playing war as a kid in the backyard of his Japanese-American friend, storming a treehouse, gave him the practical, tactical war experience that he needs. Let's listen.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, I'm in the military myself. And I've never been to war, but I've been to more simulated wars than backyard barbecue, throw a rock, hit me in the face war. I've been to
National Training Center down in California. The what?
National Training Center down in California where we do the desert warfare training.
Camp Pendleton, yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Well, I've been there quite a few times.
Look at it. Do you disagree when I tell you that the only woman to watch your back is a dyke?
No. I totally disagree with you.
Well, why would you disagree with that?
Well, I know plenty of the women that were that are in my unit right now.
And when you say taking a rock to the face, sir, I did not take a rock to the face. It was a simulated incendiary grenade.
Yeah, you know, I played war when I was a kid, too, and well, I got hit with a mud clod, and I just wiped off the dirt and went crying to my mommy, but nothing wrong with that.
Oh, is that what you're saying I did? What I'm saying is...
Well, what you're trying to say here, Mr. Dozier, is the emotional...
First of all, it wasn't a rock. It was a water balloon, which was used. That's what we used to simulate the napalm.
Oh, okay. What
is it with you? You don't get what I'm saying?
No, I get exactly what you're saying. You're totally self-centered into your little world that you want to make.
What are you talking about?
You know,
I took napalm.
Okay, you got a water in your face.
Wait a minute.
I was over
yeah,
in National Trade Center. I got shot at with a 50 cal. It might have been blanks.
It was, well, what's
but I got wounded, okay?
Well, no
I got wounded, okay?
There's no difference.
And you wonder who picked
I
up
did.
The 50 cal that I had and fired back? It was a woman. It was a cook. She was a cook in the Army. She picked up the 50 cal that I had because I was wounded.
Okay. All right.
Simulated
all
wounded.
That's fine.
And she fired back.
Okay. I bet you anything. She was a lesbian.
She ain't a dyke.
How do you know she's not a dyke?
I used to party with her husband. She has a husband.
Let me say something to you, William. You're going to laugh at this, but if my mother had not called me for dinner that night, I don't know what would have happened to me.
What do you think would have happened?
I know something already did happen to you. It totally psyched your mind.
I could have died.
You're saying your military experience is that you were in a backyard brawl. Were you in any other armed forces at all?
We were playing Army.
Okay, you were playing Army, okay. Were you in any military form at all?
Well, you mean in the real Army? No.
No, because if a war would have came your way, I could have sworn that you probably would have burned your draft card, put on a dress, and ran out to Canada.
Well, that's hardcore.
Because you do not know. You do not know. Trust me, you have not seen anybody get his arm shot off. I've seen it in training.
Mr. Henry, are you agreeing with this man?
Yes, I do.
You agree that
this man's training is far more realistic and prepares one far better for actual combat than storming Billy Twan's treehouse when you were 11. I mean, come on, man.
I told you that I took napalm to the eyes.
You didn't take napalm, you took a water balloon.
It was simulated.
It's okay if it's simulated, it's simulated. Are you saying that you psyched yourself so far up into an emotional state that you actually believed it was napalm?
You get Billy Twan. I can call him because I know where he lives.
I roll
around.
The 60s were really good for you then, okay, buddy?
What's that? I roll around on the lawn and I scream. Well, you guys are both nuts.
Oh, we're nuts. You're the guy rolling around on the lawn screaming after...
I'm telling you, you laugh at me one more time.
Okay, I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing in your face.
I don't think it's fair that I'm on the air talking about defending our country and a guy who is in the military of the United States calls up and laughs at me.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this guy.
I
He's whack.
I'm whack.
But you know what hurts me the most? I love this country more than anything else in my life. That I put my life on the line every day.
Yeah, sure.
Every day. Okay.
You call
if they called me to go somewhere, I would be there.
You see liquor lounge and get into a fight with some civilians, you call that putting your life on the line? Because I got the crap kicked out of me by 3 Marines down in Oceanside, California. And I was happy for them. I said, go ahead, kick my ass.
You wonder what I think's weird?
I think like the guy
you said
needs...
Like you said just a little while ago, that you went to the department store purposely trying to look like you were trying to bomb the place.
Yeah, what about that?
You know what makes me mad about that?
What?
We have too many of those that put me on alert where I have to go out thinking I might have to shoot you, even though you are not a terrorist.
There's some
you are acting like one. I might have to shoot you.
You do that, and you're putting people at risk.
But the women didn't do anything about it. Are you guys listening to me? I walked by 3 women standing there gabbing about their nails. I'm wearing an oversized coat. You think one of those broads went to security and said, maybe a bomb?
You know how many women that I'd rather have in my foxhole, fighting side by side with me than you? You know what would happen if you were in my foxhole? I guarantee you'd be fragged.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I guarantee you'd be fragged. That basically means he'd shove a grenade in the guy's pants. He'd kill him himself. Wow. Yes, that's another nugget of comedy gold. on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, don't give me that look, Cabot. If Johnny Carson can call that stuff he does comedy classics, that's what we're doing around here, man. We've decided to just take the gloves off. We've decided to just wipe the smile off our face. If you call it comedy gold enough times, it is. And that's what we're doing here. So, there. All right, our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And when you go to the Phil Henry Show website, you can access all kinds of comedy gold. Our 30-day archives, all 30 days of the past 30 days of shows are there archived for you. You can listen to this show today, anytime during the day. It's on demand. Audio archives are jam-packed with classic bits from throughout the years. 75 new clips have just been added. We've got a webcast archive of our webcast just before Christmas of 2001. We have all of this available with a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. That's $6.95 a month. And that's right, for the price of a pack of smokes and a Mickey's Wide Mouth, you can have as much Phil Henry as you want. So go check it out. And go to our souvenir shop while you're there. You can pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You can get the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001. The new CD is called Bring It. And you can get any one of our CDs going back to 1997, as a matter of fact. And the money from the sale of the CDs goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's all there on the Phil Henry Show website. And I've just been told 5 new hours of audio was added today alone. Is that long stuff or is that short stuff? It's long stuff, so check it out. I mean, there's always something getting jammed into the audio archives on the Phil Henry website. philhendryshow.com, The Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Deb Turner with us from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. Deb, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, really what I was talking about was the fact that President Bush is trying to impress his father, obviously, with these moves toward, toward Iraq. And
well, that's you've even said that's a decidedly female point of view.
I don't know that it's a decidedly female point of view, but I do know that it is one that does come from our organization, which is primarily primarily women, and women have always had a much more sensible view of the world. And women have always exercised a common sense in our society. We've also campaigned for peace. I think the time now is for women of North America to be heard and to bring some sanity and sense to this dialogue. President Bush is simply trying to impress his father for a variety of reasons. And if you ever saw the film, I Never Sang for My Father.
This is a film?
Yes, it was a film that starred Melvin Douglas and Gene Hackman. And this was a young man trying to garner his father's approval through a series of ill-considered acts. And President Bush is no different. He wants the love of his father. He is completely ignoring the fact that there is no real threat from Saddam Hussein. It was not Saddam Hussein who flew the planes into the World Trade Center. It was bin Laden. There were no Iraqis on the plane. We forget this war was fought over 10 years ago. So it's done. It's so simple, yet people are so caught up in the emotion. And I can't believe Bush has a nation convinced that we have to do something about Iraq. Again, it's a classic case of men who want to impress their fathers.
Deb Turner is with Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. You think that this is a view commonly held by women?
Because of the fact that women have always exercised a more sensible view, we've always been the ones who have mitigated more extreme emotions. I think it's very obvious that women in our society are campaigning for the president to stop trying to get the love of his daddy and quit trying to get the love of his mother and try to rise above some of the exploits of his brothers. His own wife is one who obviously can see his drawbacks. You can see it in her face. She looks embarrassed a lot of times to be around him. When she's asked questions about him, her eyes sort of dart around, you know.
I would never, I've seen Laura Bush in a lot of interviews, I would never think that she was embarrassed.
by her husband.
Well, it's something that's something women can see.
What, you know, we're talking about weapons of mass destruction and the possibility that he has those.
Well, until the inspectors can get in there, Phil, if you ever saw a film called Rebel Without a Cause, it's a very famous movie.
Yes, I've seen it.
In that film, a young man grabs his father in the living room and tries to beat him up. He tries to do damage to him. I see President Bush as the young James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, grabbing the older Bush, wrestling him across a sofa, and there is Barbara Bush screaming the words, "Do you want to kill your own father?" You can easily put George Bush Jr. in that scene.
That George Bush Jr. wants to literally...
No, figuratively.
Figuratively kill his own father for...
For not recognizing him as being a great president, for not recognizing him, for not giving him more credit.
All right, Women in Common Sense, Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy Director Deb Turner is with us from New York. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The basic impetus of President Bush's thrust toward Iraq is the needing the love of his father.
Well, needing the love of his father and not... And he also doesn't have, I don't think, a real understanding of foreign policy. I really think that he has confused a lot of things.
Like what? Like you're saying that he confused the fact that Iraq was not involved in the World Trade Center.
Iraq was not involved in the World Trade Center. People forget that. There were no Iraqis on that plane. And there's another film I want to recommend, Phil. It's called Goodfellas. A lot of us know it as a mafia movie, but in Goodfellas, the young son is trying to get the love of his Irish father, and he doesn't get it, so he becomes really a criminal and goes off and joins the Goodfella the mafia. President Bush is that boy in that film, parking cars for mobsters, admiring the criminal underworld because his own father beat him and made him feel that.
Are you suggesting this in figurative psychological terms or in literal terms that the elder Bush beat his son?
I have no way of knowing, Phil. I don't think any of us will ever know. But I do know that it is possible that George Bush Sr. beat rather severely his son George Jr. And George Bush 41 has always looked upon his son Bush 43 as a complete idiot. We can bring into this the drinking, the baseball teams, etc., which George Jr. has been involved in and has made him an embarrassment to that family. And I think that that has a lot to do with him trying to push us into a war with Iraq. I don't know if you ever saw the film Kramer versus Kramer. There is a wonderful scene there where the boy is running to his father to gain the love of his father, but he isn't able to. I'm sure that at some point in his life, George Bush saw his parents divorcing and ran toward his father and hugged his leg and said, "Please, Daddy, don't leave." And
well, so far you've attributed to President Bush the fact or the possibility that he was beaten by his father, that his mother and father might have had a divorce and he hugged his father's leg, that...
Well, let me bring up another example, Phil. In the film HUD...
Well, you're bringing up a lot of movies.
But this is very pivotal. In the film HUD, played by Paul Newman, screams at his father, you are just like me. You are trash just like me. Melvin Douglas plays the father also in this film. One can well imagine George Bush Jr. screaming at his father, "You're nothing but garbage like me. You think you're so great." And let's remember one other thing. George Sr. did not take out Saddam Hussein. George Jr. is going to do it and then perhaps win the love of his father.
So this all comes down to a shallow worldview on the part of George Bush, thinking, A, that it wasn't the, you know, it was the Iraqis that bombed the World Trade Center and that he needs the love of his father.
I think it does. And the other thing, Phil, that is part and parcel of this is, number one, that President Bush has to recognize it's our turn. It's like a dodgeball game. We all get hit with the ball. America's gotten hit with the ball. And America has to stand there and figuratively cover its genitals as someone throws water balloons at it
I think it's our turn in the dodgeball game.
Deb Turner with some, and I know there's a rally Sunday.
That's right, Phil, on the Capitol Mall, Sunday, September 22nd.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, as we talk about President Bush and why he wants to attack Iraq. Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy say he has a serious issue with his own father. Here is Tina on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to call in response to Deb's comments. First of all, I want to sound as respectful as possible.
Tina, can I ask you, how old are you?
I am 31.
Our organization would love to be able to send you some literature. At the end of our phone call, I'd love to give you an address.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I just would like to say that if this organization, you're a spokesperson for that organization, that I probably would want nothing to do with it.
Well, why is that? I'm interested to know because
to me, common sense means watching more C-SPAN and less movies to have an idea of what's going on in our world.
I'm asking you, Tina, to understand that it is a possibility that somewhere in George Bush Jr.'s life, there was a violent struggle with his father. And I'm talking...
Literally.
Literally. Yes.
Okay, and I appreciate the fact, you know, that you want to psychoanalyze the Bushes. That's fine. Everybody has a right to do that.
And can you imagine George Bush slapping his own father across the face?
Okay, first of all,
I think
George Bush Sr. is not in office. George Bush Jr. is in office. And I do not think that half of America would have, you know, which are women. There's a lot of women in America who voted for George Bush Jr.
Then you understand.
Of which I was one.
You understand he has this all wrong because there were no Iraqis on that plane that struck New York. There were no Iraqis on the plane that struck Washington.
Understand the concept of a clear and present danger to the United States?
Excuse me, ma'am. I've
listened to you. I'm asking
Saudi
you to listen
Arabia,
to me.
And he slapped his own father in the face.
Ma'am,
let the lady
finish. We're not talking about a father-to-son conflict. We're talking about a clear and present danger to our country. And I'm not talking about a clear and present danger in the movies.
Well,
I'm talking about a real clear and present danger.
You told me not to mention movies. Now you mention a book. Tom Clancy book.
I'm just saying, you're probably going to make an analogy to it.
Yeah, it's a term used in intelligence circles.
It's not a movie. It's not Rebel Without a Cause. It's actual problem.
Well, I think all women recognize this pain that George is going through because we see how fathers ignore their sons.
I am a woman, and I don't know what you're talking about. I watch C-SPAN when I want information. I don't watch movies and try to bring correlations between the president, the ruler of the free world. You know,
I'm saying if we could recognize that somewhere in George Bush's past, there was a violent, violent struggle in the living room with his father. Where
okay, do you understand?
His father over a sofa the way James Dean did.
You don't know that he did that. You don't know he threw George Bush Sr. over a sofa in the living room.
Okay.
Then why is he trying to get his father's love?
Who said he's trying to... from all I can tell, his father loves him just fine.
Yeah.
And I can see why, because he's a great president. But one last thing I wanted to say.
I come from New York, and things are a little bit different up here.
Well,
they really
evidently.
Are. They're really different up here. They're not, wherever you're from, they're not the same.
What does that mean, wherever I'm from? What does that mean? Because I have a southern accent, I'm not intelligent?
Well,
I'm from Florida. We have just as much going on here as you do up
there.
Oh, I
know. Well, you've got a vote counting problem there. I don't
that doesn't
comment.
Have anything to do with me.
I'm sure it doesn't.
But my point is,
the women
if
of America
I had something,
a child of this little boy who wants his daddy's love routine. Really, we
okay,
are.
But,
Tina.
What, okay, my last
All right,
point.
Let the lady finish. Then we got to take a break. Okay.
Yeah, I understand.
If
the last point I was
movie,
wanted to say, ma'am,
let the lady finish.
Show,
I heard
like
about Godfather and Rebel Without a Cause. Go
okay,
ahead,
can
Tina.
Can I make my comment before she gets?
Yes,
to the rest
I want you
I have to go.
Go ahead, Tina.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say I had very traumatic events happen to me when I was young. And I am a strong, independent...
I really think if you would watch the film, Goodfellas,
I have seen these films, but I see them...
Let her finish.
Yes, please.
All right, look, I gotta think. I'm sorry.
I've had traumatic events happen to me as a young person.
All right. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. They're having a rally in Washington this Sunday, featuring a variety of speakers from all walks of life, and they feel that much of what motivates President Bush's desire to attack Iraq is the need to impress his father, because at some point in their past, President George Bush Jr. violently attacked and had a fist fight with his own father. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. And your point on President Bush again?
Phil, the point on President Bush is simply that the president has exhibiting something that I think all American women can see. That all American women can see, all North American women can see as typical of a father, of a man trying to impress his father. The competition that the boys and my three sons had to go through to get Fred McMurray to even look at them, I think is very telling. Fred McMurray, if you look at the reruns, again...
You're using...
They're popular culture examples of what I'm talking about.
All right.
If you look at the episodes of My Three Sons, Fred McMurray never even looked at those boys until they did something violent or really disgusting, and then he'd look at them and deal with them. I'm saying that all American women really feel that this is about a young man who desperately wants his father's love. We see it time and again. President Bush Sr., when he went to Japan, and he got sick. He vomited at that dinner. That is possibly after a long drinking bout with his own son, trying to iron things out, and he vomited. Well, the son, George Jr., is nowhere to be seen. So I'm banking a lot of money on the fact that he's a sick, sick, twisted old man trying to reject his son's love.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Cloris. Hello, Cloris. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say to Deb, you know, that you're seeing too many films, and these films, a lot of them go back years ago. Let's get realistic, eh?
Let's live in today's world. What about My Three Sons?
What about it? Listen, President Bush has the love of his wife. He doesn't need the love of his father. He's a mature man.
Every young man has advisors. Looks for the love of their father.
Oh, come on now, eh? Bush, get realistic. Stop seeing so many films.
If you saw the film Ordinary People...
I don't live by films. They're just entertainment.
Well, what do you live by then? Do you live
by real life. What's going on in the world
today,
madam?
Were you ever married?
What is your business if I was married or not?
All right, I want to know if you've ever had sons.
How old are you, and what is your religion?
I'm a lesbian. I don't have
children. You're a lesbian?
Yes, I am.
Well, good luck to you.
Oh, so you're homophobic on top of stupid. You're really stupid.
I didn't say anything.
You're a homophobe.
Stop seeing so many films and get into the real world today.
Why don't you have yourself a husband and have some sons?
Listen, my dear, don't worry about me. Worry about the world you live in.
Where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada.
You didn't have any television
Toronto, Canada.
Right,
President
where they had
Bush
no television.
Has the love of his wife and family and his mother and father.
Absolutely not.
They love him dearly.
They've got television
they love
in
him
Canada.
Dearly.
They don't have good television in Canada.
Okay,
so
he's got all the love in the world, President Bush.
How do you know?
Because how do you know what
how
you're
do you know?
Saying?
I
how
happen
do you
to know
that he needs...
He beat his father.
He's going to start a war because he didn't have the love of his father.
I can only hope that Jean Chrétien, the prime minister of Canada, should have the crap kicked out of him.
Other than from the movies.
Should have the crap kicked out of him by his own son as well.
Other from the movies. What do you know?
You're an old lady, and I don't really want to...
You don't even know my age.
And the top-rated show
anyway,
in Canada
thank you very much,
so.
And I say
yeah,
good luck to the United States.
Big,
I love you, United States.
He's got a real
States.
Big igloo
and I like President
there.
Bush.
You like Bush?
I love
him. So do I.
All right, thank you. What is that?
I think it's an example of a Canadian woman as opposed to an American woman. She doesn't get how violent American youth are. And plus the fact she said that she liked Bush.
Well, you said you're a lesbian, right?
Yes, I am. But I don't really call myself that so much as someone who is free of orientation tethers and anchors. So I hope that people understand whether you're straight or gay, all women feel that President Bush most probably had sex with a housekeeper that his own father was having sex with as well. Shared partner between father and son is damaging.
Do you have any evidence to support the notion that President Bush shared a housekeeper with his old man?
I think what he's doing is classic. It is symptomatic of a father and a son sharing sex with the same African-American housekeeper.
You're kidding, right?
No, I am not kidding. And if you come to our rally on the 22nd of this Sunday in the Capitol Mall, you'll know what we're talking about.
All right, 1-800-449. We'll continue with Deb Turner here after our break. 1-800-449-8686. She thinks that President Bush wants to invade Iraq because he wants the love of his father. In fact, she thinks that both men shared the same woman at one time. Additionally, she believes that probably George Jr. beat his own father up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Phil Henry with Deb Turner. Go ahead, Deb. Okay, I don't know if I have the caller. Is the caller there?
Yes, Phil, I'm sorry, but the idea that Iraqis have nuclear weapons is preposterous. And the reason I say preposterous, this is a culture of people whose primary form of clothing is essentially a sheet that they wear wrapped around themselves and tied at certain areas. Their primary clothing is very simple. Their primary mode of transportation is by way of animal or beast of burden. This is not a country that could have nuclear weapons. So that's mistake number two that President Bush Jr. makes, along with trying to show up his father and be a bigger man than his father, even though they have shared the same sex partners and he beat him up in the garage one day.
You don't have any proof of any of that. Any proof of any of that, even though you say it's all symptomatic.
All women understand. You're a man, you don't understand, but women understand.
Women understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Etta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Whoa, okay, whoa, Etta, your phone is breaking up there, dear. Say it again. Oh, yeah, that's nasty. Hold on, Etta. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold until you get into a better cell. Maybe that's the answer. Here is Brenda on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I totally disagree that the father and the son have the conflict. George Bush is having to clean up his father's mess.
Well, what about the possibility that they had the same...
I don't know about that, but I know for sure that my uncle was with the 82nd Airborne, and he was the third one over at Desert Storm, and they had the guy in Iraq, and Bush called it backwards because he said that wasn't their
goal. That's right. So the son is trying to show up his father to get his love.
He's not trying to show him up. He's having to clean up his mess, and he's expected to do what a president's expected to do, to protect the...
Brenda, let's talk like women now. Don't you think... that this is symptomatic of two men who had the same woman in bed one night?
How do you figure that?
No.
Think about it.
No.
I think you're casting some slanderous aspersions on President Bush.
Correct.
I'm not based on facts. I think he's a wonderful man. I don't see anything wrong with two men teaming up. But I'm saying...
Well, they are teaming up because his father's still partially telling him what to do and guiding him through the presidency.
No, but I mean teaming up on a Friday night. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't think tag team sex is within that family.
A tag team.
I don't think tag team sex is within the Bush realm.
I do not either. I think that they're a very middle mainstream family.
Right.
Once a father sleeps with a son's woman, there's nowhere else to go but go threesome. And when you go threesome, now you're getting into some psychological deep water. When you go tag team, now you're in serious trouble.
First you got George Jr. beating up his old man and throwing him over a couch. Now they're sharing the same women. And all of this is why we're invading Iraq.
How about a president doing his duty to his country and to the world to rid the world of this evil person?
But that's where he's got it wrong, because the World Trade Towers were attacked by Saudi Arabians, not Iraqis. That's number one.
Iraq has been a threat for over 10 years. Something needs to be done about it. He's putting his foot down. He's putting his foot down that we're picking up the sword. We've got five now. And we're going to back up what we say as Americans, what we stand for.
But he wears...
Bravo, Brenda. I agree with you.
But Mr. Henry, a country where the people wear sheets can't have nuclear weapons.
We could turn around... sure they could.
No, they can't.
You don't think that they have underground... Saddam Hussein lives underground. He has six lookalikes.
You know,
the man
really
is so fearful
there.
Of us, he only comes out like a mole he wants to try to make us out.
Oh, Brenda, you're really way out there. You're
no,
really,
ma'am, I'm not.
You are way out there.
I'm not way out there.
Yeah, Brenda,
you're talking about threesomes is way out there.
You're right again, Brenda.
Well, the two of you can laugh, but I didn't see Mr. Hussein with his hand on the yoke of that airplane, did you?
Doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you what, they were in Prague. They had an Iraqi special agent in Prague talking to one of those Al-Qaeda scum, like 3 months before it happened.
Oh, that's very flimsy.
I believe that Iraq is involved in the world trade.
I agree, I do too.
Time will tell.
All right, Brenda, thanks.
What's going on? Because when you sleep with the devil, you become the devil.
You're way far out there, Brenda, and you really need to pull it back in. Sisters have got to do it for themselves. And our organization, Women for Common Sense for Foreign Policy, will be.
If they let me go fly a plane and bomb his ass, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Oh, you're really far out.
Okay, listen. Thank you. No, you're not far out, Brenda. 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Debbie.
I would like to make a point. I think the lady speaking is sexually frustrated because she's trying to make this very important issue sexual.
No, about a father trying to impress his son. Initially, that was my point.
That's ridiculous.
If you saw the
film,
did you ever see The Godfather?
What has that got to do with anything?
That was a son trying desperately to get the love of his father, and he gets
murdered. Who are you trying to get the love of?
I'm not trying to get... I'm trying to help my country.
And no, you're not.
Oh, my God. With the country is about ready to go to war, and you want to sit back, you should join most of the women in this country and speak out against war. That's what women do. We speak out against war.
I think we should go to war. I'm concerned for my...
That's not very womanly of you. I don't think you're acting like a woman.
I don't think you're a woman, actually.
Well, you know something? I don't think you're a woman if you don't believe that we should have peace, and even if it's spelled P-I-E-C-E.
Peace comes with a price, sweetheart.
P-I-E-C-E.
And I'm not willing to pay that price.
Get a peace for peace. You know the other thing, Debbie, is you're acting dried up. Are you menopausal?
What?
You're acting dried up. Are you menopausal?
Are you menopausal? And that's an insulting question.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This woman is wacko.
You know, I only hope... Do you have problem lubricating?
Would you not say those things?
This woman is a lunatic. Hang up on her. Who is she?
I care about my country. I don't know about you.
Oh, you All don't right. care about your country. You're sexually frustrated, woman.
You know something? You're the first one... You know what? You're having hot flashes, and you don't want to admit it.
I can't even understand.
All right, listen, Debbie, thanks for your call. We have time, Deb, and then you can give out the address for your Capitol Mall rally.
I'd be happy to, Phil.
Got time for one more call here. Nicole, go ahead, Nicole. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, hon.
I think that you're an absolute disgrace to women with common sense, and that your program, if they think like you, ought to be shut down.
Well, you're very young, Nicole. You don't really know what is going on in the world with a lot of us females who are trying to direct our country in a better way.
Well,
what do you find so funny?
I can't believe the things you're saying. You're relating things to TV shows. I mean, what
Wait
do you think
minute.
About September 11th? What
I
do you
thought
think?
It was horrible. And
do
I
you
thought,
think that the President Bush maybe had sex to get that to happen, or what?
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. Of course I don't think the President had anything to do with that. I think Osama bin Laden and the Saudi Arabians did. I didn't see the Iraqis. I think President Bush and his father might have shared the same sexual partner.
What makes you think that? That's just a psychological point of view that you're taking from an outsider's position.
Don't you think it would be interesting if they had, though, and in so doing, it would create a dynamic that could result in blowing up a country?
I think that, you know, the reason that this is even in debate about war, it has plenty of sense. I mean, obviously... I mean, if you're not paying attention to things, it's obviously you not paying attention to things.
Nicole.
Are you worried about nuclear war?
Of course I am.
Have you ever
messed around with one of your girlfriends just out of curiosity?
Now, come on. This is how old are you, Nicole?
I'm 21.
Oh, you're okay. I thought you were underage, but still, it's very insulting.
Yeah, it's like,
messed around with one of your girlfriends out
no,
of curiosity.
No, if I did, it wasn't any of your business, because you're bringing up subjects
I
that
will mention
you just
to
don't...
you, Nicole, two words. Johnny Quest. He was a boy whose best friend was an Iraqi named Haji. Now, you can see the parallels.
You know, Nicole, I appreciate your call, and I have to say to you, Ms. Turner, you're trying to say that this is entirely motivated by psychological needs on the part of the president out of familial, with a familial base.
I want to ask the young lady a question.
In a moment. Isn't it possible the president is acting as a politician, as a diplomat, as a strategist, and as a tactician in trying to help our country following one of the most devastating attacks any country could suffer in one single day?
I want to know if you find, Nicole, if you find a woman's body attractive.
What does that have to do with the president and what we're discussing?
No, but you won't answer my question.
Because I think you're absolutely crazy.
I just
crazy.
Got done.
Do you enjoy the WNBA?
I think you're ridiculous.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
Sorry.
Forget you. You know, I just said a whole long thing, and you don't want to be paying attention to me.
I can't believe that you're supposed to represent a woman with a common sense.
If you come to our rally, Washington, D.C.
I would never go to a rally. I attend
Are you
college
afraid of
right
lesbians?
Now.
Are you in the closet?
Huh?
Are you in the closet?
No, but I can't.
Look, why all of a sudden are you bringing your lesbian thing into this?
Yeah.
Are you homophobic?
No.
All right.
But that has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to stoop to your level to answer your
question. I'm
going to
give you, Nicole, I'll give you the last word, Nicole. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
I can't believe it. I am ashamed of an American to show that that's women's common sense, because I attend college right now, and I keep up on things, and I know more about that lady could know in a lifetime.
And you've never been to the girl bar or explored.
All right, thank you. Let me go here to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing today?
Good.
I just wanted to start off by saying I am a lesbian who, just so you don't have to throw up age, who's 28 years old, so I don't have any type of menopausal problems. President Bush is doing what he needs to do. In my opinion, the whole damn Middle East should just be bombed. This needs to be taken care of.
That's not the way women think. As women, you know, we represent a more mitigated emotional view, and I think we also represent more of an attitude toward peace.
And I agree with that. Peace has to be protected at all costs possible, period. And that is what he's doing. Peace just doesn't come easily. Japan
Did you ever see The Turning Point with
Shirley
MacLaine?
Yes, I have been weaned on television.
Okay, do you remember where the son is ashamed of his father for sleeping with that slut?
Yes, I do remember that. I think you're looking too
much.
Did
you go to the Dinah Shore this year? Because you're a little angry and you want to fight. And I think that's what happens when you go to the Dinah Shore. I don't go anymore.
Don't go to Dinah Shore either.
You don't go to the Dinah Shore because everyone of those bull dykes that go to that thing wind up wanting to have a fight with someone.
Well, come on. Can we get off of golf?
Yeah, I have to completely agree with that. I hate golf.
Well, you don't have to like golf to love the Dinah Shore, because
I don't like Dinah Shore either.
A group of us get a row of rooms over there on 111.
I mean, you have to...
We throw a football around.
Okay. Sharon, go ahead. So you believe that we need to get
we
tough with Iraq.
Care
I agree with
business,
you. I agree. I totally agree with you.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
I need to ask you, Sharon, did you just lose your job at Rosie's Magazine?
No, actually,
she
not.
Yeah, okay. Sharon, thank you for your call.
Thanks.
So everything's just a little fun, and Daddy took your T-Bird away.
I think, Phil, that when we meet, we're going to have a, there'll be fish and chips at the Capitol Mall on Sunday. Margaret Cho is supposed to show up, but maybe she won't. I don't know. We'll have a lot of people there to speak on behalf of women with common sense and saying things, no war with Iraq. And, by the way, Phil, could I borrow your wife? Because
all right, thanks a lot. That's Deb Turner. She's with the Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. And she thinks this whole Iraqi campaign on the part of President Bush is because he and his father tag-teamed some chick one night. 1-800-449-8686. We'll come back to explain the Phil Hendry Show in just a couple of minutes.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, that was me doing the voice of Deb Turner in that preceding bit. For those of you who know the show, you know I do the voices of different characters, and people call in and think they're real. That was me doing Deb Turner's voice there. She talked about President Bush tag-teaming with his dad.
Phil Hendry Show,
comedy gold.
The problem that I've got is that Italians tend to show off during the Soprano season. They walk around, you know, being big shots, you know, gold chains and everything, trying to be big shots.
Well, you know,
most
Hispanics and African Americans walk around 90% of the time with gold chains, and many, many white people also. Does that mean they're trying to be big shots? I don't understand your point.
I'm saying that
they're acting Italian.
Italians are always acting more Italian when the Sopranos is on, and the Sopranos.
Can I ask you a question? What nationality are you?
I come from Knoxville, Tennessee.
No, what nationality
yes, what
are
nationality?
You?
I'm an American.
What,
American. You have no background as far as nationality.
My background is German.
You're German. Okay. So now, would you be offended if you saw Hitler on TV? Would I have to go put a restraining on you because I thought you were a Nazi?
No, because there's no Nazis. There's no TV show.
Neo-Nazi does not exist anymore?
Okay, I would ask you this question, sir. Tell me one TV show that's about that's a weekly drama about Nazis.
What about Hogan's Heroes?
That wasn't about Nazis. That was about Americans who was messing with Nazis. That made Nazis look bad. But
Nazis made themselves look bad, sir.
But there's no TV show on that says, you know, the Hitler family, and he goes out every day and burns a Jew and comes back and cooks breakfast. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Well, what you're saying makes no sense to me. I mean, I'm sorry, but like seriously, you sound like.
I don't know
if you've been drinking tonight or something, or you got spooked by something, but I mean...
I got frightened very deeply by a neighbor of mine who is Italian-American after I'd seen the Sopranos movie on Sunday night.
Well, let me tell you something, sir.
He's making sausage and everything. What am I supposed to do with that?
Because he's making sausage, you should be afraid.
No, sir. What I'm saying...
He came into the guy's house and he was stuffing peppers with pork sauce. Is that right?
Okay, you laugh. Go ahead and laugh. My wife laughed at me. My neighbors laughed at me.
Well, there's a reason why they laughed at you. It's because...
I
got to tell you this other thing. I thought it was kind of offensive for you to say that the Italian kids look really scary when they're handling money.
But you should see Italian children when they're playing Monopoly.
They're playing Monopoly.
Yes, sir. It's a whole other...
I honestly, I ate spaghetti and meatballs yesterday. I didn't go out and kill anyone.
That's not what I would call Italian because a lot of people do that.
Sir.
I know, but
I am Italian.
Do you eat veal? Do you eat veal with marinara sauce or things like that? That's when you get into more of an Italian way of acting. Also,
I do eat that, sir. You can go into any Italian restaurant and that does not make you a mafia.
What
about a mafia?
Like Peter T-shirts and everything.
You know where I went on Saturday night, last Saturday night? We were in Little Italy in New York. We were having dinner. We had a wonderful time. All of the restaurants were fantastic.
Yeah, because you're a tourist.
I'm sorry?
Because you're a tourist.
Oh, so I see. So they marked me for a tourist, and they treated me real good.
Tell me if you were just a regular guy that they wouldn't try to whack you or something like that.
Whack
sir,
me.
Let me ask you a question. You know, okay, you want to put a restraining order against your neighbors. Now, say they are mafia. Do you think that's a smart idea to put a restraining order against your mafia neighbors?
They won't be able to come near me.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.